Hey, we're live, pal, back on the grind. Andrew, I don't know if you're dealing with this, but my wife and my stepkids are home this week, and it is really messing with my productivity, with work, with this show. I didn't get to watch Raw until like right before we're recording. It's chaos here. What's going on, man?
You know, I literally right before we started, I put my mic on mute and I had to scream. Can everybody stop screaming? And it didn't work. So I feel your pain. Yeah. I'm like, don't you guys know? I'm on the Wrestling Observer website right now. We're doing a podcast. Nobody cares.
You know, this is how it works during the summer. But I've been so used to everybody being gone during the day. And it came back and it just hit me right in the face today. Like, oh my gosh, this is what it's like in the summer. I got to hear everyone complaining and screaming and crying and trying to help my wife get the kids in order, all while I'm trying to do some research for this podcast, man. All right.
I know the feeling.
Let's talk about Elimination Chamber. I know you got to talk about it a little bit on Wrestling Observer Live, so we don't have to dig too deep into the show, but I just interested in your thoughts on what was a giant show for WWE, but also one in which, you know, the main event was going to leave some fans polarized based on the outcome. I think we knew what the outcome was going to be. We knew we had a pretty good idea that they weren't going to change plans, but ultimately, what did you think about how that show ended?
I have to tell you, I watched it live and I enjoyed the show. And then I went on Twitter and I saw how much everybody hated that ending. And I rewatched the entire show again on Sunday morning. And listen, it was a good show. Sammy looked like a million bucks. Everybody wanted Sammy to win. And I said this on Observer Live. I wanted Sammy to win. There's nothing more than I wanted to see than Sammy, you know, pinning Roman or whatever happens. He wins the title and you have this amazing, happy moment at the end. But the timing of everything is what threw this off. I'm convinced, and, you know, talking to people at WWE, if this was any other time, except for now, Sammy should have won and would have won, most likely. If this was August, if this was SummerSlam, you could have done that. But there were a number of things going against from happening. Number one is, listen, I obviously the streak plays a part in this, but hell with the streak. The streak could go away. Cody plays a part in this. You can't hurt Cody by having Sammy win. You know, he's the golden goose right now. The 2023 plan is for him to be the babyface in that company. You know, and it wasn't for Sammy. Sammy was not picked for that. And, you know, there's a lot of internal conversations that have happened about this, but I feel that I want to be careful here. Hold on. I feel that from the conversions that I have had,
I think a lot of people blinking. I think you're getting
texts. Uh-oh, it's happening. You better watch out. No, I actually, they're not answering my question. I reached out to someone to find out what the viewership for the show was, and I haven't heard back from anybody yet. Because I want to find out, because they said it was 56% higher than last year to most watched Elimination Chamber. I don't know what that number is. I'm trying to find out. But internally, people wanted Sammy to win. I think they all realized that it wasn't the time for that. And unfortunately, I don't know when that time would be again to have this monumental moment again. I feel bad even talking about it, you know, nonchalant, like Sammy shouldn't have had it, but it wasn't in the cards for them. It wasn't planned. They weren't going to do it.
You know, now that I think about it, you know who we should be blaming here? We should be blaming Dwayne. Dwayne has held them for 2 years now with this Roman Reigns title picture thing. I don't really mean that they should blame Dwayne. In fact. Yeah.
But you know
since the XFL started this weekend, I'm going to have a glass of Terramana honor.
You know what I just got? I just got a bunch of Kevin Hart's tequila. Have you had that?
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it's called.
I had a delivery sent to me at my office, and I didn't even know what it was. And I looked it up, and it's Kevin Hart's. I'll bring it this weekend. I'll try it out, and I'll let you know. There you go. But you know what? Here's the other part, right? Let's say Dwayne was wrestling at WrestleMania against Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Should Roman have had lost to Sammy before facing The Rock?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a great question. Unanswered, something we probably can't really answer because we don't know what the momentum would have been like. Because so right now, as we speak, Sammy had such tremendous momentum. You know what I think about it, though, is even if he didn't win, Sammy's a made man in WWE. He went out there, had a fantastic performance. Like when I'm watching that match, I was looking for some signs. I was like, okay, where's the face? Is he gonna, you know, make the face where he's sad that he's gonna lose? No, he was such a professional match. He was the main event. That crowd loved him. Everything was perfect about the way that they wanted to tell that story. And yeah, he didn't get the title right now, but I think this is a different regime for WWE. But if I think back to how these kinds of runs happen, Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston, even going further back, Rey Mysterio, where it kind of catches them off guard that the person gets so hot and then they give them the belt, I feel like Sammy's going to be better off because if he gets that belt, they're just going to look for opportunities for him to lose it. And yeah, now he can be in the main event all year long, and I think the fans would really believe in him as a babyface contender. So this sort of, you know, whatever they're going to, if they're going to split the titles, whatever, he's going to be in the big picture, and that's all Sami Zayn fans have ever wanted, right? He can still win the title down the line.
I hope he is.
It doesn't mean, you know, it may not mean as much as at WrestleMania, but maybe they tell the story for next year's WrestleMania. Like, there's so many things you can still do, and while, yes, I get it, they had an opportunity and they didn't take advantage of it, I do think this bodes very well for Sami Zayn in the future. I think he was awesome. You couldn't have asked for anything more from him on a Saturday night.
You know, I hope he's in this picture. I hope they maybe eventually split the titles and you could put the title on him. But there's a number of things here. You know, one argument that I saw over and over again was, you know, The Rock dropped it to Mankind before he faced Austin.
Yeah.
You know, yes, great example. However, The Rock was not the man at that point. He was not the solidified guy at that point. He was still, you know, developing into that. He didn't have a 900-day title reign. The emphasis on Dwayne was not what they've done with Roman. You knew that Austin was going to get that match. Austin was going to be the guy. It didn't really matter at that point. Mick Foley winning the title would not have affected Austin getting booed at WrestleMania. But you also have to think now, if Sammy wins this title, right? Sammy wins. And they somehow, you know, he gets a rematch and he loses and Roman wins the title back. Now you got Cody and Roman. A big question is, will that audience reject this match? Because their guy lost. The guy that they wanted doesn't have the title. There's a number of variables, and I think a lot of this was them being afraid of the reaction Cody's going to get as a babyface. Internally, I know that's been discussed. It hasn't happened yet, which is a positive, especially for Cody. I don't want him to get booed. I want this guy to be successful in WWE. You know, part of it could have been they were afraid to pull that trigger on Sammy right now because of what it'll mean to Cody. Personally, as the fan in me, I there's nothing more that I wanted than Sammy to have that moment. I would have loved to see that. My kids stayed up. We watched it all together. However, marketability and the business side of WWE, I understand why they didn't do it.
I love the example. I love the Foley example. But the difference is the business was so different back then. They were trying to do two things with that win. A, they were trying to pop him a rating on Monday, right? Because that match was recorded, or that match was produced 6 days before. It was when they were not running live every week. They were running live on Monday, and then they would do the taping on Tuesday. So they had 6 days to promote that on their website, that Mick Foley was winning the championship. So it was A, to pop a buy rate, and B, I mean, ratings, not buy rates. And then B, they were going to do the rematch at the Royal Rumble, which was to then pop a bigger buy rate, right? So
yeah, and the story was who came out? Austin, right? Austin came out at the end.
And Austin helped him. And then at that Royal Rumble, which is one of the worst Royal Rumbles of all time, it was Vince and Austin setting up that Valentine's Day massacre show. So yeah, the business was different. And there were reasons that they did that are different from how the business currently works today. They don't need to, you know, the ratings are very important for sure, but they're not facing WCW, who's going to have Hogan, you know, do the finger point of doom on Nash and win the title. Yeah. And then, like, cause those were, they were competing in those shows. So, the other thing about this is, as we saw on Raw, they're still telling the Sammy and KO story. They had a promo, and KO is like, hey, bro, the only reason I came and saved you is because I didn't want your family to have to go through what I went through at the Royal Rumble. So why don't you go ask your homie Jay to help you in this battle against the Bloodline?
Yeah.
And even if you really enjoy the Bloodline story, to me, the real fabric of that story is Sammy and Jay. So I'm so happy that they're continuing to tell that story. That's going to be really good television until they figure out what they're doing for WrestleMania there. So I was very happy to see that. And Jay has been tremendous, just as valuable as Sammy to me. So if anybody else needs to get something out of this, I think it's Jey Uso. But and then we had the Cody and Heyman thing. Or did you want to say something about KO?
I want to see. No. I'm very curious what Dave is giving that match.
I know he really liked it. I texted him on Sunday because we were both at the New Japan show. And I'll tell you what's funny is I was so mad at that New Japan show. I'll tell the whole story why on the Fight Game podcast Thursday night with John. But I was so bothered by that New Japan show for so many reasons. Now, the show in of itself was great, but just the building and the delay, and like, I'm so sick of going to this Civic Auditorium, which is where I saw my first ever wrestling show in 1988. But I watched the whole main event. I watched Sammy and Roman on my phone in the merch line at the New Japan show, because I was like, screw this, I'm just gonna watch this match. The delay in the New Japan show was bothering me, so that's how I watched it for the first time, was on my phone. But so Dave, I texted him and he said he really liked it. He thought, you know, for what they did, it was like the best crowd response that they could have got out of it. He said that a little bit on Wrestling Observer Radio today. I'm going to guess 4.25. That he may give it 4.5, but I'm guessing 4.25.
4.25 is conservative. Yeah, I would say 4.5. My number was 4.5. I loved it. I it was a great piece of storytelling. I was so invested in Sammy. You know, my wife, which, you know, Jess is not the biggest pro wrestling fan, but when there is a great story behind something like the Bryan Danielson story, you know, she loves him. She got so into this for Sammy, and she doesn't even know who Sammy is. You know, but she was so invested in the story because I explained to her, and she was watching, you know, SmackDown leading up to this. So she got into it because it's a great piece of business. It's a great story. What a great underdog story. But unfortunately, you know, he didn't have that title win. But by the way, Roman looks like, I mean, a gazillion bucks.
Yes.
They made this guy into, you know, it is, they have not created somebody at that level in so long. And I'm skipping John Cena, because John Cena was a polarizing character. John Cena was being booed for the wrong reasons. Roman gets booed for all the right reasons, and he gets cheered for all the right reasons, which is great to see. I absolutely loved it. By the way, I just texted Dave a little scoopski.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I can't talk about this, but I texted Dave it.
Interesting. We're going to have to wait for the off-air portion of this show to figure out what's going on.
I'll tell you later.
Okay, so
it's nothing big. So, it's nothing groundbreaking. It's just a stupid little thing. There's nothing. I'm not holding back. The forum's going to go nuts.
Okay.
Andrew's holding back on stuff.
Yeah. All right. The Cody and Paul Heyman storyline from Raw. It was a little, I didn't expect them to go there. The whole, you know, Cody, if you do win the belt, it's going to be like when your dad, you know, won the belt. And that's Dustin's childhood growing up, right? Not necessarily Cody's, because Cody's childhood with his pops was, you know, Dusty was already pretty much retired. So that was interesting. Paul Heyman kind of being the vehicle. I'm fine with it. I don't know if I necessarily loved the promo last night. It was definitely not like their promo from previously, but more storyline. You know, when Cody and Roman do face off, you know, whether it's the contract signing or however they do it, I'm very intrigued to see the crowd response, because you know, I think a lot of people are kind of wondering, can Cody keep the babyface thing going? And is there when are the boos going to come? I hope they don't for as long as he's a babyface. But, you know, that hasn't really been his history with being this babyface character. So that I think that's going to be fantastic. And they, you know, that they have that to set up, because we still got like five more weeks or whatever until WrestleMania.
I didn't love it. You know, I love the story about Cody and his father, and he's able to do this, and that's obviously the big story here, but you saying it so many times over and over again, like, I'm a little like, okay, I get it. Okay. Give me another reason why you won win the world title. Give me another reason why you came back. It can't just be that your dad didn't win it at the Garden in 79 or whatever it was, you know? Like, nobody
remembers
that.
They need to
play
the footage. I want to see the footage. They have it.
They have it?
Do they have to have some of it, right? I feel like on either the Superstar DVD or the Dusty DVD, there was some Superstar and Dusty stuff on there. I feel like there was.
I would imagine that there is, but, you know, or here's the thing. What if he doesn't win? What the hell happens then?
I think it's bad.
I think but, you know, like, how bad is it? Do you just kill the whole thing at this point if he doesn't win it?
Well, I don't know if you kill it or not, but, you know, especially after the Sammy thing, Cody has to win it, right? Because if he doesn't win it, then he's leveled out with just about everybody else who's faced Roman. He just becomes just another guy. I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I don't know.
All right. The Elimination Chamber, Austin Theory won to theoretically set up his match with John Cena. The big part of the match was Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. Buckshot Lariat gets Seth out of there for Austin to win the match. And we saw a little bit of crazy Seth last night. He was pretty vicious. He was about to knock the Miz to yesteryear, and poor Miz, after hitting a half court shot at the Celebrity Game in the All-Star game.
I know. That's amazing. I was blown away by that. Somebody sent it to me and I didn't believe that it was the Miz. They're like, you saw what the Miz did? I'm like, that's not the Miz. And then I saw like all these tweets. I'm like, oh crap. You know, that is so impressive and good for him.
Yeah, it was cool. It was definitely cool. I think I don't know what the audience was for that game necessarily, but the fact that he was able to do something that, you know, went viral on Twitter was really cool for him. And then Edge and Beth beat Finn and Rhea. Finn got Shatter Machine, but still looks like he's going to get another match with Edge at WrestleMania. He jumped Edge in the match with Austin Theory, causing Edge to lose. And it looks like they're moving that way. And then Rhea and Charlotte are having a confrontation on Friday, and probably also Dom and his pops. But what do you think about them coming back with Edge and Finn after he got Shatter Machined on the pay-per-view?
I think this is going to lead to, you know, Demon Balor or whatever they're going to call it again. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But then is he going to lose?
Oh, yeah, he would have to. He can't, right? Can he lose as that guy?
Well, I think he lost to Roman as the Demon, right? Remember that one funky match they did where the ropes broke or whatever? I forgot. Was that during the pandemic? Was that like when there were no fans?
It was on the right top corner turnbuckle. Maybe they had fans. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
That whole era is such a freaking blur to me. I never want to see that Thunderdome. I never want to see those screens ever again. I really don't. I You know, it was really cool when they first did it. It was very unique and different, and good on them. They spent a lot of money. I forgot the amount that it was costing them, but it was something astronomical to produce that. They had hired this third party to do it. I never want to see it. It gives me such terrible feelings when I see just the screens behind them. But one thing that never left is that pipe and cheering. It's terrible.
Yep. Yep. They still do it. What do you think about Edge's character right now? He's turning grit and wisdom into like heel words. Like, I'm so tired of get off my lawn, Edge, Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood Edge. I'm so tired of this dude. I don't know why. I don't know. Like, I'm closer to his age than I am to, you know, some of these other wrestlers, but I don't know. He's just, I just hate the, oh, back in my day, and you know, I'm wisdom this and grit, the grit couple. That was so cringeworthy to me.
I mean, he's only a couple years older than Finn, right?
Yeah, true.
Finn is in his 40s, right?
I think so. Late 30s or early 40s for sure.
I think he's like 41. By the way, it was Extreme Rules 01, that match.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Oh, 21. 21, you mean.
21, yeah. 21, not 01. That would be impressive if it was Extreme Rules 01. I mean, but we're in a whole different universe now. I really like Edge, but I think you're also starting to see the style difference, you know?
Yeah.
The way he works is so different than, like, how you know, this generation is working, which I like. It's a little slower and it's more storytelling with the moves. But Edge is a great story of what do you do after this? You know, Edge came in, he had that match with Roman and Danielson. I think he should have won, in my opinion. He should have won the title then. You could have done something very cool with that story of, you know, he came back after this whole thing. He, you know, was in the Rumble. He got hurt. And then now he's back. You know, you could have done something very interesting, but they didn't. I don't know if Edge... You know, an Edge singles run might be really cool with him and Cody.
If he keeps talking about grit, I'm out.
I know. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
You know? Okay.
It's the same thing as Cody. I don't want Cody crying every week.
Brock and Bobby Lashley was a bit of a disappointment. I think to me, it was like once the Bray Wyatt thing happened on SmackDown, Brock was like, all right, I'm losing this match. I don't want to face Bray Wyatt.
I don't want to face him.
But Brock and Omos, does that mean Vince is booking this thing? Like, what's going on here?
I want him to keep suplexing Omos. I don't know why that match is happening. I don't know who gets over in that match. Who looks good? You know it's going to be short.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just to get them both a payday on you know, on the pay-per-view. You know, it could be that.
But you and I can come up with 10 better ideas than Brock versus Omos for WrestleMania.
I got one. I got the main one. Wyatt and Howdy versus Lashley and Lesnar. Look at that team. The spooky guys versus the guys from the Planet of Rocks. These two are made out of, I mean, Lashley looks like his body is sculpted out of just chiseled out of stone. Same thing with Lesnar. You could have done
Uncle,
this.
Uncle really... Howdy's gotta take a lot of suplexes and get a lot of bumps and get steamrolled though in that match, right?
I would like them to do like their magic on Lesnar and it just doesn't even faze him, you know? It doesn't even work. He puts on the serial killer mask and he starts chasing him. They no sell the whole thing. I get why they're not doing it, obviously, but you know, it's just a match.
Yeah,
just a match.
And then, so are we getting Lashley and Bray? You think?
I think so. Which I don't know how the hell that match is going to work out. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem with Bray. You know, you make him into a character instead of the wrestling. And what happens when they actually wrestle? Not much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been pretty bad, I think. All right, so then in the opener, we saw Asuka win the Elimination Chamber. I thought that match was actually really well put together. I was actually entertained for one of the few times by Carmella. I thought her charisma really worked in that match. Sets up Asuka and Bianca, which we saw a little bit of a face-off on Raw. They went with the spooky stuff in her mouth to kind of, you know, weird out Bianca. But then they did something else with the women's tag titles that I thought was really interesting, which Becky and Lita came out to challenge Damage Control, Bailey accepted the match for Damage Control. And then on SmackDown, we have Ronda and Shayna as a powerhouse tag team. And I wonder if those three are going to be in the mix somehow for WrestleMania, which is a weird way to get back to Ronda and Becky if they are.
And Trish was in the back, right?
Was she?
On Raw, yeah. Trish was there. Okay. So maybe
going six women tag, yeah, like we had sort of assumed. But then who's, like, how do you get the belts? Or the belts just not going to be on the line? They're just going to be, like, I don't know, because we heard Ronda and Shayna for the tag titles. At least that's what Dave reported. So how do you get there, I guess?
I don't know. I know that that was originally, they've been wanting to do Ronda and Shayna winning the tag titles for, I mean, last year, January. So January 2022, that was the plan for them to team up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a full year later.
All right. Last thing before we move on is I wanted to get your take on this Ariel Helwani situation. What did you think about his tweet? What did you think about Tony's tweet? What do you think about him working for WWE and still trying to interview Tony? Like, that whole thing, like, I held him to a much higher standard, even going back to, what didn't he do? He did something for the Matt Riddle Seth match, like, last year. And I was like, this guy, like, he needs to pick a lane here. And he picked the lane. He's like, if I'm doing wrestling, I'm a character. If I'm doing MMA, I'm, you know, a reporter. So that's his lane. I'm fine with it. I was more bothered when that line was blurred than I am today, because he's just leaned in. He's just like, yeah, I'm getting paid by WWE, so be it. So now at least I know where to draw the line. But a lot of people seem to be much more frustrated with him based off of his tweet with Tony, I guess, because, you know, the tweet was definitely out of line, but just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, this all started when he had Tony on the show, and I think he went online and he said that Tony wasn't a good interview because he wouldn't give him crap, right? Wasn't that?
Well, he wouldn't answer the CM Punk question.
He wouldn't answer the CM Punk question, and the response was, well, you had Hunter on, but you didn't ask him about Vince, and his response was, well, he wouldn't answer me, even if I asked. So... yeah. I mean, listen, it's gray, right? It's all gray because he doesn't cover wrestling, but he has wrestlers on and he discusses wrestling. I understand his point, but I also think, listen, you can't throw shade at Tony for not wanting to answer a CM Punk question when you wouldn't even dare ask the question about Vince because you know what the answer is, right? Tony was an easy target for you rather than the big WWE machine.
Yeah, but that's at the same time, you know, at the same time, if I who is not, I'm not even close to that situation, but I've been watching Ariel's career for a long time, and I sort of had that question. I don't know if I was Tony, if I would have gone on the show, like, you know, where is this thing going? Like, what are we going to do? You are working for the other team here. Is it of my best interest? It's like if Tony went on McAfee, right? It'd sort of be the same thing. Like, McAfee works for WWE. So I know Tony, you know, probably thought it would be good press for them, but it didn't turn out the way that he wanted it, I'm guessing. But here's the other thing. And I think I know Tony a little bit because I've been able to interview him a couple times with Dave. And so, you know, when you know someone, you tend to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because you kind of know them a little bit. But I think the thing that I was disappointed in is, you know, Tony's the boss, right? Tony's very successful. His family is uber successful. AEW, he took it from nothing, you know, with help of some really good talent to where it is today. And I just want him to act like it, you know, like act like...
I get
like
what you mean. Yeah.
Because, like, imagine your CEO of your company just lashing out at a random reporter because the reporter is on television and calling that person a fraud. It was almost like, did you expect Ariel to play patty cake with you? What did you expect him to do? Like, I was sort of saying, you know, the saying is, you know, don't start nothing, won't be nothing. And Tony was like, oh, like, this is the response? Yeah, the response is out of line, 100%.
What What the hell did Tony Schiavone do to get murdered like that? What the hell did Tony do?
You know what Tony did to get murdered by that? To say,
what?
You're right, Taz. You're right, Excalibur. You're absolutely right, Taz. You're absolutely right, Excalibur. That's his analysis.
I would say, listen, I wouldn't have taken that approach, right? What Tony did. But, you know, at a certain point, I think we all see some of the crap that Tony gets online. And when you have the following that he does, it becomes exhausting. It becomes exhausting. And I know that some people's answer is, well, he's in media, he's on TV, he owns this promotion, it comes with the territory. It shouldn't, though. It shouldn't come with the territory. There are people that are insane. I'm not talking about being critical. I'm not being constructive. I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm not talking about being critical. I'm not talking about making jokes.
They're just unfair.
There are insane people that are tweeting this guy. And the same thing goes for any WWE talent or any AEW talent. The most insane, insulting things. So at one point, you know, you're gonna lose it. Should Ariel have been the guy? I don't think so. But, you know, they both have a good argument as
I'm
to
sure,
what,
I'm sure
what's going on here.
There's a relationship behind the scenes that we don't know about. The
Absolutely.
WWE folks are probably, you know, being unfair. And at the end of the day, for me, I just think Tony can't be the top marketer, the top PR person, the head of creative, do all the interviews. Like, he can't be that person. He leans into the Twitter stuff, too. If you post something that he doesn't like, he's going to go into your mentions and just do hashtag ratio and blow up your stuff. Like, he's not just an innocent bystander here. He knows the game. I would just like to see, you know, we heard about a lot of the things that Vince did later in his career, but when Twitter was there, Vince didn't really, he wasn't out there with the Twitter fingers, right? He was like, rarely, he'd only tweet certain things. You know, back in the day, yeah, Vince was out there wild and out, and he would get called out on it, you know, for that. But, you know, the other thing that, you know, Dave Meltzer keeps talking about the wrestling war. And, you know, I'm doing this thing where I'm going back to 1996, and John LaRocque and I are doing something for our Patreon where we're just like covering WCW 96. So I'm reading through all of the old observers, and I'm going to read a passage for you that is crazy to me. So this is early 1996. I'm quoting the Wrestling Observer from, I think it's early February. He says, Dave writes, McMahon then attempted to purchase ad space in both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal with a photo of Ted Turner and in large bold print saying, attention stockholders. The copy read, has Ted Turner lost $40 million of your money in his personal vendetta against the World Wrestling Federation? Where are these losses reported in TBS financial statements? Both papers turned down the ad, although a modified version of the ad was later accepted by the Times and was expected to run in the financial section on February the 7th. Like, that is way worse than what we have now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
But you know, what did Vince know that most people didn't to want to put that out there, right? Like, we know about their P&Ls and how they moved money from one department to another. You know, like,
yeah,
we know that was the Turner P&Ls were wacky. Things weren't accounted for. You know, if you ask Eric, he made way more money than it was disclosed because of the way that it was positioned. And then you ask other people, it was way less. Vince probably knew this. And the same goes for exactly what you just said. You know, what does Tony know about what's being said about him?
Yeah.
And absolutely. What Ariel has said about him. I could tell you, I hear the conversations, what's said about Tony, and it's insane. A lot of it.
Totally.
So not positive. Totally. And that plays a big part, because guess who ends up hearing that stuff? Executives at Warner.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I won't go into detail, but I mean, these are things that happen all the time. So Tony losing his mind, I get it. Would I? No, I wouldn't. I would have a little bit more public decorum on social media, but that's me. I don't want to sit there and fight with people. But Tony maybe does. And good for Tony if he wants to sit there and fight with the internet. I don't know.
I mean, in some weird way, he probably thinks that doing so just creates more interest in his product. And, yeah, you know, getting Ariel's got a lot of followers. Tony's got a lot of followers. It just brings it to more people's attention on Twitter. So I totally get that. And if so be it, so be it. I just think that it's kind of a bad look. Like, not all press to me is positive. Like, negative press, I think, could make your company look bad. But again, like, that may not be what they think. You may think, oh, wrestling business, everything, anything goes. So, all right. Wanted to go over quickly and just get your thoughts. I don't know if you even saw the Battle in the Valley. Did you have a chance to see any of that stuff?
Yeah, okay. I did.
Mercedes Moné, what an absolute gigantic star.
Yeah, top to bottom, no question.
So you know, we've been talking about Sasha Banks on this show for a while, and I'm in the building with some friends, and she comes out in the introduction, and I just turned to my buddy, and I'm like, why didn't Tony Khan or Triple H just back up the Brinks trucks for this woman? This is even before the match started. And I was just like, oh my God, this is she has everything that is missing from the AEW women's division and the WWE women's division. You know, if they let her be this character, this person, oh my God, she just, like, the charisma is coming out of her ears. I went to the press conference, which was not really a press conference, on Friday, and she just, like, she's just this tiny little human, but when she walks out there and she speaks, like, just, she just becomes bigger than life. And you don't, like, you know, when we do this stuff, we've been around it for so much, you know, that kind of stuff is like, oh yeah, you know, we watch it, nothing is really that impressive. But when I saw her, I was like, okay, like, I get it, like, she has everything. And then she goes out there and with Kyrie and puts on that match, which was an absolute banger. So I just wanted to make that note and see if that came across to you on the TV.
Yeah, no, she's, I mean, very impressive. Looked like $1 million. She wrestled great. That finisher looked so much better than at Wrestle Kingdom. I think she's gonna, you know, if she does this for a while, I think it'll look great. You know, it'll be great for her. I don't know what her independent wrestling commitment is. I don't know what her New Japan commitment is. I know it's a few dates, but where do you go after this? Do you go back to WWE after your couple matches in New Japan? You know, maybe that's the answer. You get it out of your system and you go back there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but do you go back? And you've just created this brand new character with the new music, the new name. I think the Sasha Banks name, there's more value in that because that has equity in it from years and years and years. And it is, to me, Sasha Banks is the best name WWE has ever come up with for one of their wrestlers. But she's also, maybe it's like, oh, when I'm wrestling, you know, for WWE, I'm Sasha Banks. And when I'm not, I'm Mercedes Moné. I have these, like, alter egos, whatever it is. Like, I think she's got it. And if people, the only thing I didn't like, and this is about the presentation, the Civic, San Jose Civic Auditorium, it only holds like 2,500. And I was like, man, this needed to be on a bigger stage. This needed to be in front of 10,000 people instead of 2,500. Even if CM Punk flew out for some reason to be at that show.
He did. And, he
was like five,
right?
He was like five seats away from Dave. Like when he was talking to, I think, who was he talking to? Some folks from Impact. But Dave was like right there.
Did he say anything to Dave? Did he wave at Dave? Did Dave flex his muscles and do one of these, you know?
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll have to ask Dave. But man, that just, if there was a bigger building and a bigger crowd, like, that thing would have been even better. And I'm just like bummed that it happened at the Civic Auditorium.
New Japan tends to book smaller venues. And I question that. I don't know why they do it. Maybe they know something we don't, but that was a sellout. That building was a sellout. Could they have put another 1,000 people in that building? I think so. They could have.
I think they could have doubled the audience because
I'm sure
you had more tickets to sell for Mercedes, and then you added Tanahashi and Okada on top of that after the building was already sold out.
Yeah.
And like this is the probably the worst version of Tanahashi and Okada you're ever going to see, just because Tanahashi is, you know, up there. But still, man, that was so special to see those guys go at it. I was just, you know, you're kind of like, you get those moments sometimes when you're like, oh, this is why I enjoy wrestling. This is what I love about wrestling. And had a couple of those moments on Saturday night, even though the building was too small and it was hot in there and the show went forever. There were still those moments that I'll remember.
Yeah. I heard it was a very long show from people there and they were getting very tired.
Yeah. I'll tell the story of the frustration on the Fight Game podcast, but you just sent me a note of the ratings for Friday, and man, Rampage having to go 3 hours earlier really bottomed out their rating there.
Yeah, I mean, 4 o'clock on the West Coast. So yeah. Who's watching it? 7 to 8, 287,000 viewers. The P 18 to 49 was a 0.07, which is terrible. 59th in cable. SmackDown an hour later did 2.3 million with a 0.58 for the demo. Number one in the demo, by the way, amongst broadcast primetime and cable originals. So, great, I mean, listen, WWE is a very hot product, but Rampage is a problem. I mean, listen, this 287 is not a real number, obviously.
Yeah, you could pretty much throw it out.
You could throw it out, but they still have a major ratings issue. They have a viewership issue, for sure. I'm not invested to watch every week at 10 p.m.
Nope.
Are you? Are you invested every week to watch it?
And
I don't know if the answer is putting John Moxley on to have a bloodbath every week. You know, my biggest problem with the show was when they announced it, I always thought it's going to harm Dynamite more than help Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're taking something that people would want to watch from your flagship and putting it on there because you need to convince people at 10 p.m. on the East Coast to tune in every single week after they watch 2 hours of wrestling already. It's a time slot. It's not AEW. It's the time slot. And if you had a better time slot, you could do something more here.
Yes.
I don't know what the answer is with a 10 p.m. show on Fridays.
Yeah, not a great time slot. But there's never anything that is can't miss on Friday. I think Keith Lee showed up on Friday, which was awesome. I don't know why you bring him back on that show of all shows, knowing that you're going to do a terrible rating. But that kind of stuff needs to happen more on Rampage. It feels like everything happens on Dynamite and then nothing happens on Rampage. Can we take like one of those things so that Rampage feels like if you don't watch it, you're going to miss something? If it feels more like that kind of show, I will be more apt to watch it because I don't want to miss something very important. And they have to get there for that show. Storyline advancement, if there's a cliffhanger from Dynamite that shows up on Friday on Rampage, I am more apt to want to watch Rampage and see how that happens. And they don't do that for the most part.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to end up doing. You know, it's a contract year and, you know, how do you refresh the show? I don't think you could do much on Fridays at 10 o'clock. I think this will always be the problem.
Okay, what if WBD says, we're going to scrap Rampage, but you're putting another hour of Dynamite on there?
Well, that was the original. That wasn't that the original thing? I don't think they're scrapping Rampage, but I do see them attempting to put on another show on another night.
Or you could do, and we've kind of talked about this. I don't think this is going to happen, by the way. You could do Dynamite and then on Friday do ROH, AEW presents ROH, and then do Rampage as like some streaming show on Tuesday night, head up against NXT or something.
Or
you could get creative like
Saturdays.
That.
Do a Saturday for, you know, move Rampage to a Saturday. It's a 1 hour show and move and then do Ring of Honor on Friday or vice versa. Yeah. I just feel like I don't think they could do much with that time slot. It's a hopeless time slot for me. They're better off 6:05 on a Saturday on TBS.
At least with ROH being on that Friday time slot, it would feel like its first run, right? It would feel like, well, ROH only has 1 hour a week, so you're going to get the best stuff from ROH in this 1 hour, versus Rampage feeling like, here are the remnants of our TV for this week.
Yeah. So. And that's what it feels like. Well, and then the other problem is they need more TV time for their talent. They 100% need more TV time. Look at all the people that they have on that show that are missed every week. You don't get to see Moxley every week. I mean, you're seeing Danielson now every week because he's in a few, but you generally didn't get to see him every week. You didn't get to see Kenny for so long. I think part of the problem with our viewership is that Kenny's in a trios and he needs to get the hell out of there and become a singles guy again.
Yes.
You have to. You're wasting. Your top tier is not that strong right now. I get it. Moxley's the guy. But I'm sorry, MJF is the guy. You have Moxley, you have Danielson, you have Hangman, but it's the same core guys that are feuding with each other for the last 2 years. You need to do something different here. You got to incorporate some of the younger talent in that main position. You got to bring back Kenny in that position because he obviously is a draw. And unfortunately, you know, Punk was a draw for them. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. And if you can make it work with CM Punk, you definitely should make it work with CM Punk.
What did you think about all those rumors that came out on Friday about Kenny's contract and WWE being interested and all that stuff?
I mean, they're 100% interested.
They should be, right?
they would be idiots if they're not. They would be fools. You got Cody already. Here's the other one, you know?
Yeah, you could see Triple H going, we were able to book the better AEW version of Cody in WWE. We can book a closer to New Japan version of Kenny Omega in WWE. I could totally see them thinking that.
I think for Kenny, it would be if he went there, you know, Kenny, does he want to wrestle in New Japan style still?
Wrestling is a little bit different. What I mean? I'm just thinking the character of like the star, you know, the star, with the Elite right now, he's just like goofball Kenny. And he, you know, I'm sure he has fun with it, but that's not my favorite version of Kenny. I like
not at all.
The rock star, best wrestler in the world, Kenny Omega. That's my favorite version. He doesn't even have to wrestle the New Japan style to be the best, to have the best matches in WWE.
No, and I definitely think if there was ever a time for him to fit in there, it would be now. You know, with Cody there and the matches he could have would be fantastic. I do think it would be devastating for AEW. They wouldn't go out of business, but I definitely think it would be an emotional hit for sure because he's the guy. Really, I mean, we could talk about Cody being the guy, but it really was based on Omega being available and what Omega was going to do. You know, the success of AEW really depended on Kenny because Kenny was so freaking hot at that time. So I think it would be detrimental to the company at some extent. I don't know if they would allow him to go, though, unless Kenny really wanted to go. I'm very convinced that they would figure out a way to make him happy financially, if it is a financial decision or if it's a working decision, you know. But back to my point, you know, you got Danielson there. He could go back to WWE easily.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that he would eventually go back.
The sale thing is going to be so interesting, right? Like, whoever they sell to, and if they keep the current creative in the same roles, then if you're AEW, or if you're an AEW wrestler, then that's still attractive. But, you know, if they sell and Vince is back, then it's probably less attractive for AEW folks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping AEW goes into high gear again. Over the last 2 weeks, I haven't loved their TV. Last week, definitely, I didn't love their TV. It's a weird time for them. It's a very strange time period for them.
What are your, like, one out of 10, between 1 and 10, I mean, if All Out and our expectations for All Out was like a 10 plus, what are your expectations here for Revolution?
I don't really have high expectations because the main event has always been an instrumental piece in their pay-per-view business. It, you know, like they always have a great main event. Yeah, is the match going to be great? Yes, but is Danielson going to win it? I would be shocked if he did. And I think that's most of the audience. I don't think the audience thinks Danielson is winning, so you won't have that emotional investment into it. You know, the opposite for WWE, people were emotionally invested in Sammy because they genuinely wanted him to win, and a lot of people thought he would. Yeah. I don't think that's there with the AEW audience. It's a little bit of a smarter audience, less casuals, but does anybody think that MJF is losing the title after, you know, 3 months, 4 months?
No, not at all. But
unless they
do, if they put on a 5-star banger, then I think people will feel like it was worth it, right? Their time investment.
I guess so. I don't know. I've been a little down on this.
So I'm sensing
me back. I'm a little down.
I'm sensing from you like a 5 or a 6, and I'm going to that show. I'm going to all of the TVs that week. I actually took time off of work so that I could have some free time just in case people were around town. And I'm at like a 6. Like, not that I'm not looking forward to it. 100% I'm looking forward to it. But if, like I said, if All Out was a 10 as far as our expectations and how pumped we were for that show, this is about a 6, I think.
It's about a 6, yeah. It's about a 6. Is this the least invested you have been in a pay-per-view for them?
No, pandemic stuff, I was not that interested. Post-pandemic, that's an interesting question. Probably post-pandemic, yeah. And also,
post-pandemic.
The tickets aren't selling, right? Like, they're still under 8,000, I think, for Chase Center.
Yeah, WrestleTix had it. Let me find this, because I was talking about this on the show. I was very surprised at how low the sale numbers were, but last week's show had, I mean, the audience was very low. AEW Dynamite, here we go, for February 22nd. Okay, so this is going to have 6,300 people in there, closer to 7,000 by the time. Yeah, that's not bad. Let me find this. March 8th, Dynamite March 8th is 4,000 tickets sold.
Is that Phoenix? Wait, where are they? Because that's after. This. So,
okay,
in
AEW Revolution, here we go.
There you go.
6,869 tickets. This is a week ago. So,
I think in the Observer, 10, in the Observer, it was over 10. I mean, over 7. Sorry. Okay. But I think Dynamite was still like in the 3s, and that's at the Cow Palace. And I went to a Cow Palace show promoted by our local independent APW. They hadn't run a Cow Palace show in forever, and they were like 2,000, and that was with Cody and Joey Ryan in the main event, I think.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, that was an independent show off of that indie boom.
Isn't the answer.
I don't know, man. I think you just, you know, not to say San Francisco is this froofy place, maybe it is, but yeah, you kind of have to do really big ticket stuff for San Francisco to get super interested. And
well, you know, part
this may not have
also,
been that show.
Part of the issue, I would say, and it's no fault of theirs, they waited a long time to do this West Coast tour, and you know, the pandemic played a big part in it. And when it was super hot, they didn't get a chance to witness that. And maybe if they had, it would be a very different thing when they come back to, you know, AEW comes back. But they never experienced that beginning boom period over there for live shows. Other than Las Vegas, which doesn't count. It's a destination location. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I think it's good that they're traveling. I think they're doing good. Seattle, you know, Washington State had a good, had good houses. So I think they just need to do more to have people invested in watching it live. I think we've seen a lot of these combinations. We've seen the acts, you know, you don't have Punk. What's your new hot act that people are very invested in? You really don't have one. That's going to draw, you know, tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. And there's nobody in the pipeline. It was possibly Mercedes. I don't know how big she would have been, but you know, there's no one really in the pipeline, it seems, that is going to be able to come back outside of Punk. And by now, he may have overstayed his welcome. We'll never know. Last thing before we get out of here. Do you have any idea what this Tony Khan announcement is?
I do know.
You do.
I can't say though. I do, but okay. I can't say it. I've been sworn not to say it. I do know what the announcement is.
All right. I won't bother.
I will say, don't have your hopes up. You know what I'm going to say? It's not. It's yeah. Or maybe you
I think
should.
That
I
was
don't
the
know.
Fear. That was a little bit of the fear. Was how important is this? But you know, he knows that when he makes an announcement, people are going to want to know, and there's that surprise. AEW does surprise stuff very well. Now they may have gone to the well one too many times with it, but I'm intrigued at what it is. I just hope it's something that is worth an announcement that doesn't have to be that shouldn't have just been a press release, right? That you send to the websites.
What I said is not fair. It's not fair. I think there are many people that will be excited to hear this, the whatever he's going to announce.
Okay.
It's not.
For you, it wasn't CM Punk coming back to Rampage.
It is not CM Punk coming back. It is not.
All right, we have a couple more minutes left. I wanted to get your gauge because this is kind of a funny story. Did you see the thing where Tyson was on Undertaker's podcast?
Yeah, and he's like, and what did he say?
He said he likes going to WWE more, even though AEW pays him better. Gosh. Yeah, well, I mean, some of it is he's got to kiss up to WWE on the Undertaker podcast, right?
Yeah. Of course he does. Was it the Undertaker's podcast? Was it his podcast? Was it Hotbox?
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. It was his podcast. The Undertaker was Hotbox, his guest. Yeah. That's right. You're right. Yeah, just fine. I don't know.
These guys sure pay me a lot of money, but I'd rather go to Vince, you know?
Yeah, like, it was an interesting way to make that comment considering... Tony brought him back, you know, in that Jericho run and kind of let him be Mike, and WWE hasn't brought him back in a little while. So very, very interesting for him to say that. All right. So for Dynamite on Wednesday, I think the big thing is the Tony announcement and then the tag team battle royal for the spot in the tag team title match at Revolution. I hate the booking of this. It should have just been the Acclaimed. They should just get their return match at the pay-per-view. I don't know why we have to create this. It just reminds me of Vince Russo, WrestleMania 15. Like, why do we have to create more people in this match that we don't have stories for? Like, we were only a couple weeks away. There's no stories for any of these guys. So I wish it was the Acclaim, but that's the big match. But there's nothing really all that interesting otherwise. I don't know. Nothing that really jumps off the screen, jumps off the page for
AEW. I'm sure it'll be a good Dynamite.
They need to, right? Because they're on this build to the pay-per-view. And last week's show, you know, even the hardcore AEW fans were like, you know, sometimes you miss one every once in a while. So, yeah, it is of utmost importance, I think.
The good news is I could count how many AEW shows I've felt that way. You know, and that's positive because the shows are generally fantastic. I look forward to watching AEW easily. You know, it's a very easy show to watch.
Something happens is the thing for me. Like, I may not always enjoy the matches that everyone else enjoys. I may not always enjoy the segments, but something happens on these shows. And if you're following the product and you like the advancement and you like some of the wackiness, it's a good show to watch. So I always find something positive coming out of those shows where, you know, sometimes on Raw, like last night, there was some okay stuff, but nothing jumped off the screen where you're like, oh, that's what I'm going to remember, you know, from Raw. It's like, it is just a long three-hour Raw.
I could tell you, I generally dislike Raw. I generally very much enjoy AEW. SmackDown, I'm in the middle. It could go either way. But it's just my style of wrestling. I like my wrestling, and I know what I like. But I'm also able to say, you know what? It was not for me, but I understand why people love something.
Got it. Cool. All right. We are just out of time. And no Lance Storm DMs today, so all is good in our world. But we'll be back next week. On this road to WrestleMania, on this road to AEW Revolution.
And Garrett.
Yes.
A little teaser here. I've been teasing everybody. I'm a heel today on the show.
Okay.
We're working on something, Garrett and I.
Yes, we are.
And it will be, it's going to be very cool.
It'll be very fun.
That's my announcement. That's my
hopefully we'll be able to say something pretty soon. We got to lock it. We got to lock it down. We got to lock it down.
Yeah.
All right. For Andrew, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.